Live Kabbalah is a nonprofit organization founded for the distribution of the wisdom of Kabbalah and its values. It serves to support the growing need for a spiritual movement and promotes the self-education of the wisdom of Kabbalah and therefore empowers a student to achieve his or her goals. Learning the original principles of this wisdom can reconnect us with the true values of our society, including the belief in the dignity and freedom of man, democracy, and the freedom of speech.
Shalom everyone, Shavua Tov, and we are now in Parashat Ekev. This is a very, very powerful parasha because you have a lot of sentences in this parasha that are so that are ingrained. It's like they're so famous in Hebrew, also in English, and I'll explain it. Parashat Ekev, it's in the book of Deuteronomy, Dvarim, chapter 7, verse 12. That's where it starts. V'ya ekev tishmeon et ha-mishpatim ha'ele u'shmartem v'asitem otam. First of all, something that is very important. The word is v'ya ekev. Ekev means to follow. Or following, or following, which means cause and effect. Ekev. Yeah, ekev. Now, there is a mix between akev, a heel, but also when you walk with the dog and you give him an order to follow you, you say heel, right?
Yeah.
To the dog, heel. Okay, so, v'yakev tishmon et ha-mishpatim ha'ele u'shmartem v'asitem otam. Here comes a very important expression that repeats itself the whole book of Devarim, which is u'shmartem v'asitem. Shmartem means, is being translated usually as to observe, although in Hebrew the word, the verb shamo means to guard. To guard. A shomer is a guard. So, and the question is, why Moses needs always these two verbs coming together? Shmartem v'asitem lishmor v'la'asot. Which means, like one verb is not enough, you need always these two. And we'll see the whole parasha is just about this issue. Now, what is shmartem? Shmartem comes from the word shamor, shomer, to guard, not to observe. I'll give you an example. An observer is somebody who looks at stuff and he reports, if he feels like. Okay? While in the Hebrew language, the word shomer, a guard, let's say we're talking about the legal aspect of a guard. Let's say you have a jewel box and you're going to visit family abroad, somewhere else. You're afraid that somebody is going to steal your jewel box. So you give it to a neighbor to be shomer. And there are two legal positions. One is shomer sachar, somebody you pay him to keep an eye, to watch your jewel box, and the shomer chinam, somebody does you a favor, you don't pay him. Both have a legal responsibility and liability if something happens to that jewel box. The moment you hand it over to them, and that's not an observer, you can come back after a few weeks coming back from abroad, and you come and the observer says, oh, observe, somebody stole your jewel box. That's an observer. He reports to you. A guard supposed to actually make an attempt to prevent the theft from happening. And if he does not prevent it, he has to pay a fine. This is a Jewish law. Okay? Responsibility. Exactly. So, in order for the shomer to be responsible, he has to watch it, guard it, and to be aware of it. And he has, what I mean to watch it? It means to be focused on it. Let's say, in modern Hebrew, let's say somebody is put, a soldier, in a position, he's the guard on the entrance to the base, to the army base. Now, his commander is coming once in a while to see what's going on, and he sees that the guard is playing with his smartphone. In Hebrew, in modern Hebrew, like army jargon, it's called shavar shmirah. He broke the guardians. Why? What did he break? He was still standing on that position. The moment you're not focused on the subject of your guard, you're not guarding anymore. So here we understand that the word shomer is not observant. Shomer is somebody who has a liability and responsibility. What's the difference between shomer ve'ose, shmartem ve'asitem? Because when somebody is performing the mitzvot, the actions that are mentioned in the Torah, when somebody is performing the mitzvot, he has two aspects. And we spoke a lot about it in the past weeks. One aspect is the physical action itself, which is ve'asitem. If you know some Kabbalah, that's connected to Olam Asiyah. This world, the world that we perceive, whatever I can see, I can hear, I can understand with my brain. But there's another world. This is the spiritual, metaphysical world. That every mitzvah, by doing the mitzvah, you have to have the consciousness that you connect a spiritual world with a physical world, a spiritual dimension with a physical dimension. And that's called a mitzvah because the word mitzvah means a precept, but in Hebrew it comes also from the word tutim, tzevet, letzavet, to bring together the consciousness, ushmartem, guarding, being aware, taking responsibility, vasitem, it's also doing the action. That's why we say there's a European, it's not Hebrew, but there's a European saying the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Now, if you add the Jewish aspect, it's paved with good intentions without good actions. If you only have good intentions without the actions, that's a road to hell. If you want the road to heaven, you need also to make to make the action, not just to have good intentions. So, and how do you see and how do you understand that? Because what did we say the name of Parsha? Ekev, cause and effect. That follows that. What follows if you do that? If you have the observance and the action, if you understand that every action that you have has a spiritual dimension that you have to be careful about and you have to take responsibility for, okay? Which is called the kavanah, the intention, the meditation behind it. If you do that, then the verse continues, Veshamar Shem Elokecha lach et habrit, lecha et habrit, ואת החסד אשר נשבע לאבותיך. And then the result will be that the Lord your God will, the word shamar appears again, will guard what? For you, the covenant and the chesed, the loving kindness that he promised to your forefathers. Which means, God's promises never change. Why? He's God. He doesn't change. But the question is, if God is promising someone something, does that apply always? No. It's like, it's sometimes in a fiduciary, till you, it's conditioned. It's like, we got a lot of blessing, but this is conditioned that we draw it from the bank. If you don't draw it from the bank, the money is there, but you cannot, it's not yours. Till you go and you have to draw it from the bank. It doesn't come automatically to your home or to your pocket or to your wallet. You have to make an action. And that's why the Zohar says in another place, in Parashat Mishpatim, that the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is saying that the Torah has 613 advices for a person to complete his soul or her soul. Which means, why does God have to give us so many rules? And the answer is, he doesn't have to. It's not for him. It's for us. These are the ways we can tap into a banking account and we can withdraw what is there waiting and it's already deposited there. When God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all the promises, it's already deposited in our account. Every time we make a mitzvah, we pull out, we draw what is there, ours. But we have to make an action. And making the action physically, it's not enough, because like everything in life, you know it very well, to get by, it doesn't work. You have to put your heart and your soul. And that means ushmartem. So you have two dimensions, the spirit, the soul, the consciousness, and with the liability and the responsibility, together with the physical action of doing the stuff. Now, you do that, then comes verse 13, and he will love you, and will bless you, and multiply, and bless the fruit of your loins, and the fruit of your land, and whatever, it's all coming, which means it's already done. The question is, would you do what is needed in order to withdraw the blessing from its place? Now, the promise goes on, and then in chapter 8 is verse 1, it continues. Kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi metzavcha hayom, all that mitzvah that I give you today, tishmerun lasot, again the two verbs, you will shomer, be shomer, and to do, again consciousness and action. Leman tichyun, so you will live. Urevitem, and you multiply. And so on. And then it continues. Something that is very hard to understand. Verse 2 in chapter 8 in Deuteronomy. Vezachart et kol adecha sheolichacha, Hashem Elokecha ze 40 shana bamidbar. And you will remember the way, the road that the Lord your God took you for 40 years in the desert, okay? Leman anotcha lenaschotcha ladat et asher bilvavcha tishmo mitzvotav im lo. Now the verb that is being used, leman anotcha lenaschotcha. Now, I checked in some translations into English. It says anotcha, which this verb appears a few more times. Anotcha is being translated as to inflict you. But it's not the Hebrew. The Hebrew, it sounds like torture. So God is torturing you.
Inflict is in a way.
Yes. But we'll see anotcha in simple Hebrew. Today's Hebrew. Le'anot is to torture. Le'nasotcha, to test you. La'dat et asher bilvavecha, to know what's in your heart. Okay, and then verse 3, Vayancha vayevecha, and then he inflicted you, and he made you starve, Vayachilcha et amana, and he gave you to eat the manna. So, did you starve, or did you eat the manna? It's like, if you ate the manna, you're not starving. If you're starving, you're not eating the manna, right? Asher lo yadata v'leyadun avotecha, but the manna was something you never experienced before, and your ancestors never experienced before. Leman odiyalacha, in order to inform you, or to let you, give you the knowledge, ki lo al alechem levado yichi adam. The person cannot live only by the bread. Right? There is an expression like this. It's from Moses' words. You know, a lot of people, they say, you don't have to be religious. I'm working so hard, early in the morning till late at night, even at night, I'm getting from the boss, emails from the suppliers, from the customers. There's not even 1 minute of, you know, I'm not here just to work in order to live and live in order to work. It's like, what about, that's when you use the word, I'm not here just for the bread. Which means, you know, what about, you know, fun, going for vacation, listening to an opera, reading a book. That's the expression, right? That people say it without understanding, without knowing. These are Moses' words 34 centuries ago. That's where it's taken from. Why? Then it continues. Ki al kol motza pi Hashem yichi adam. Not but on the bread it's alone the man will live, but from what's coming of God's mouth. Now, how do you translate that? By the way, I'll come back. And then that paragraph is ended with verse 10, Ve'achalta ve'savata uverachta. You should eat, you should be satiated, and you should bless את השם אלוקיך, the Lord your God, על הארץ הטובה שנתן לך. On the good land he gave you. And that is part of the Birkat HaMazon, the blessing after the food. Okay, so if you know a little bit of tradition, you know that by heart also. So these are very, very famous words, but what's the meaning for our lives today? And why using the word torture? Now, in order to understand that why God says, I tortured you, inflicted you, tortured you, why would God torture somebody? And there's a secret in it. No, there's a secret. We'll see the secret. Rabbi Zakluria, the great Kabbalist of the last 500 years, he taught basically only in Safed, in Tzfat, in the 16th century. He was teaching there for a very short time. Most of his life he lived in Cairo, Egypt. He was born in Jerusalem. But nobody knew about his greatness till he came to Tzfat, to Safed, and he taught over there. And his legacy, his huge legacy, it's about 18 months he lived in Tzfat and taught over there. That's a legacy that we're still learning most of Kabbalah around the world. People study Kabbalah. It's basically on his teachings. Okay, so he says something very important. When we read, Ki lo al alechem levado echi adam, the person will not live on the bread alone, but al kol motza pi Hashem echi adam, or what comes out of the mouth of God. But it says there is a code. And what is a code? The word motza. Motza can be simply translated what comes out of God's mouth. But motza, says Rabbi Zakluria, is also, it's the same letters as the word tzoma. Tzoma in Aramaic or in Hebrew, tzom, fasting. We're talking about Yom Kippur. What about Yom Kippur? So, Rabbi Zakluria explains like this. The Arizal is explained this way. When the world was being created, as we explained in previous weeks, it was perfect. But then it was too perfect. And when something is too perfect, you feel useless. And people don't like to feel useless. They like to feel them being needed by someone, by something. Okay? So let's